the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Welcome to you. I am Brandt. Sherry is here too. She's the show's producer. She does a great job. I bring the content for the program.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sherry crafts it
right.
a certain way with her objectives in mind.
Well, no,
it's true. They're good objectives.
Well, yeah, it's the objective of relating to the audience and making sure they understand everything that's going on.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's your plan.
And herein lies the friction.
That's where we're at odds. She wants you to be able to understand what's going on. An epic, awesome sci-fi question for you. I like putting these hypothetical questions in front of people and make them think, like, what if an alien gave you an awesome choice? Like, they sat you down at a card table and made you a deal if you wanted to accept it. You ready for this?
Okay.
Give up your favorite hairstylist, and they will give you $1,000 in Kohl's cash. That's right. $1,000 in Kohl's cash. If you give up your favorite hairstylist.
Out of their minds.
Well, I could do that.
All right, good.
You're going to take...
This is going to be harder for Sherry. I know she's...
Favorite hairstylist.
Okay, that helps.
No, I couldn't. Ever.
What?
But my... Brent, who is going to do... Look at my hair. No one can do this, number one. Number two, my best friend is my hairstylist.
But everybody has a price, even for their best friend. What if you split the Kohl's cash with her and you got $10,000 of Kohl's cash? You split it 5 and 5. With your friend.
Verna, here goes $5,000 worth of Kohl's cash. Not goodbye. I don't think so.
I'll see you on the other side, Verna. Meantime, here's 5K in solid Kohl's cash. What do you choose?
No.
What?
There's no way. No.
Mm-mm.
I can't
Sorry,
believe
Kohl's.
This.
No.
Just
way.
Just find somebody else to cook.
There's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would give up my favorite hairstylist. Her name is Miss Margaret. She's a sweet woman.
If she's sweet, she'll understand. Okay.
No way.
Okay, they just boosted it to, from $1,000 in Kohl's cash, they just boosted it to $1,500 in Kohl's cash.
They went up $500? Get out of here.
No. That's like three hair appointments, depending on what I get done.
$1,700 in cold cash.
I want these aliens just get out of here. Just get on your spaceship and go back to your
they're
planet.
They're closing their attaché cases, or they are getting on their flying saucer in a huff.
They must be bald.
They're tired of it.
They must be bald.
They don't have any hair.
They are, and it hurts their feelings when you say stuff like that. So a lot of the songs you hear on this station will be about the love of God and how he loves us. And there's a reason for that. It's because he does. And that's so remarkable. This is not a common idea, by the way. People are like, all religions say the exact same thing. No, they don't. Just to highlight a couple. And these aren't slams against other religions. Please understand. It's just the truth. Like, if you're Muslim, you do not understand from the Quran that God loves you individually. That's just not part of it. It's not in the Quran. You can't find it. It's not part of the idea. That's just not there. If you're Hindu, you don't believe you can know God. He's a force. There is a force. He's not even a he. It's like this. There's a force. There is no person behind the force. It's just this thing. And you can't know him. These are very different concepts. Like the idea, again, that we're saying, well, they all say the same thing. They don't. And this is so remarkable. That God would know you and know the hairs on your head and care about the tears that fall from you. Like, that is unique. It's worth broadcasting. It's worth putting on a radio station. And it's worth writing songs about. Who's on the phone here?
Emily is on the phone.
Sci-fi question.
Okay.
They are offering you this deal. Change your favorite hairstylist. And they will give you, these aliens will give you, right here and now, $1,000 in Kohl's cash. Give up your favorite hairstylist and they'll give you $1,000 right here and now in Kohl's cash.
I might do that.
All right. Even money. This is Kohl's cash.
It's money in a way.
Oh, come on. All right.
I mean, you don't even have to tie this. You know what I mean? Oh, you can't. You know, like, what?
Oh my God.
Well, you don't. No one's gonna. I can't put that in a plate.
I can't.
Be like, here's 10% of my Kohl's cash. So.
I can't.
But
oh my goodness.
I don't understand.
Please direct all of your emails.
I don't even understand what the problem is.
What?
Rant.
So you would do it for $1,000 in Kohl's cash. That's
yes.
Cool. All right.
Would you, Grant?
I don't even have a favorite hairstyle.
Okay.
I don't even know where I'm going next.
Okay.
Or when or why.
Just a rolling stone.
I don't have a plan right now.
Okay.
Well, your hair looks amazing regardless.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go. That's nice.
Man, I like you.
Are you feeling comfortable with your hair right now?
I'm okay with it right now.
It looks nice.
I don't have an overarching plan.
Okay. Sometimes you do have a plan. Like sometimes you go ponytail.
Yeah.
Other times you're like, let's cut some of the side off.
I want to look like the guy in Master and Commander, who's the ship captain.
I don't know who that
is. It's Russell Crowe in the movie, but he's got his cool ponytail. That's what I was going for, like a nautical theme.
Oh, I'm looking. Oh, this is okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Well, I mean, only with a boat.
Well, I need a boat. I'm not gonna lie. I do need the
boat. Minus the boat, I don't know that anyone could pull it off.
And I need the commander uniform.
Yeah, you need a uniform.
Circa 1813, but I have that.
Oh, so, you do have
that.
I got that. Okay, got that.
Email from Sarah. She said, "Hey, Brant and Sherry. First of all, I want to say how much I enjoy y'all's show. Thank you so much, Sarah. I've been listening to the Oddcast since they started. You guys are a blessing to me, whether you make me laugh or you help me to learn. I have a question for you about friendships. You and Sherry have such a good friendship, and I wanted to ask how that works for you as a married man and Sherry as a single woman. I am a single young woman, and I moved just over a year ago for school and have really only recently felt pretty established in my church. Among the friends I've acquired is a pretty good friendship with a married guy and his wife, although so far I am a bit better friends with him than her. I have never really had this kind of friendship before, and I was wondering how you navigate that the way you do. How are you and Sherry such good friends while being sensitive to your wife and your relationship? Anyway, thanks for all you do. That blesses me and so many others. I appreciate you," said Sarah.
That's sweet.
P.S. You all say that you want to be friends with your listeners, and I felt I could ask your advice on this because you feel like friends.
That's sweet.
So that's really nice. I have thoughts on this. I know we've tried to address this before. I don't know if I did a good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thoughts on this, and I'm not sure it's going to be very helpful.
Okay, well.
Okay. And Sherry hasn't heard this, so you may or may not agree with this.
All right.
You might have other thoughts, and
okay.
I might change my mind.
Okay.
I don't know how else to say. I think I'm different.
Okay.
Not better. I think I'm odd.
Well, no disagreement yet. Is that it? Is that all you have?
I think I am. I think I'm a little bit off. Like, I don't know how to put it. But
I do know what you mean, but go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. I've had co-hosts, friends before. Now, Sherry's like a sister. Don't get me wrong. Those other co-hosts, what were they?
Nothing.
Nothing to me. and it has worked well. In fact, it's always worked well. There's always been comfortability my wife has.
Mm-hmm.
With me, so, and it's always been appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a situation where it's been inappropriate, that either one of us has felt is inappropriate.
Right.
And I wonder, Sarah, before I tell you, like, we'll see, here's how you do it. If, like, I don't know this guy you're friends with.
Mm-hmm.
This is real personal here, but I have shared that I don't know how to flirt. I don't pick up on things. I don't. I'm extremely loyal. Like, these sound like pat myself on the back. Maybe I am, but it's also part of it. Maybe having Asperger's. I don't know. But see, I'd hate to give a carte blanche to somebody based on our relationship that what, you know, your relationship with this married guy is.
No, you can't.
Full steam ahead.
No, you can't. Because you are different.
Okay.
That I've had other. I've been on the air with other people and have not had this on purpose on my side.
Huh.
I've said no because the person, the guy who, you know, most of them I've loved very dearly, but I've understood I have to draw some boundaries here what, not that I don't have to draw boundaries with you, but you are very different. And I have watched women try to flirt with you. And I have watched, and I always tell your wife, I got your back out there in the, we're out there in the trenches, I got your back. And I've watched women just sashay past you, and you are thinking, clearly thinking about robots or cows or World War One or something. You're nowhere in that space at all. And I almost feel sorry for the woman who does it. I just want to kind of bring her over and be like, he doesn't even see it. He doesn't see it. So you are very different. And so to give advice, you are wise in couching your advice in the fact that that the way you operate, and I do think it's because you're on the spectrum, that you are very different. And the relationship that we have, I did not have with other co-hosts, even though I loved them and worked with them in, you know, in close proximity.
Yeah, to be sure, we could say things like, well, you know, I involve my wife in everything, and Sherry's friends with my wife, and we're tight with her family. Like, all of that's really, really, really true. I mean, it really does feel like family. But again, I'd hate to give that as a blueprint, because it's not necessarily the way it's going to shake out, depending on who the people are.
No, I have been friends with people's wives.
Yeah.
And still have not had the closeness, because I knew this is, you just, you know, it's as women, I can't obviously speak for men, but as women, we know, we're intuitive. God gave that to us. You know inside when, you know what, no, not this. You know that. And the minute you have to try to silence that, or the minute you have to kind of question it, is the minute you need to sit down and really analyze what's going on there. But for women, I wholeheartedly 100% believe we know this is not this. This person, no. We can go this far, but not that far. You know what I mean? I believe we know.
A question like this begs for a blueprint, begs for bullet points.
No, you can't.
But.
Well, no, I can. I can give a couple.
Okay, do it.
I can say that no matter what, and I've said this before, I believe it with all my heart. Now, I will say that my father was desperately unfaithful to my mother, their whole marriage, my whole childhood. So I am sensitive to that in how I interact with married men, always thinking about the wife, because I always saw that how that affected my mother. That being said, you know, this man, this married man, has a best friend. It is his wife. Okay. And that is that. So that is a bullet point where, no, he's not the one I call whenever I'm going through emotionally something. He's not the one I call. He had, there's a woman that gets that space, not me. If I have a flat tire or something like that, maybe, you know what I mean?
Right.
Some brotherly things like that, emotional things. No, he is committed to someone else. And for men, I think, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but for men, giving that emotional space, for women, we can give it to anybody, right? That's who we are. For a man, if he's married to someone, that should be only for his wife.
Yeah.
I believe that, because I don't think men have it to give emotionally like that all the time. So you should not be giving that to another woman.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going through something, I don't think that sitting alone with a married man, pouring out your heart or what you're going through, or with another guy or something like that, inappropriate. And I can't think of a time when it is appropriate. If you have questions about a guy or something like that, you ask the two of them together, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife. If you need counsel, you get it from them together, not him, not alone.
Yep.
That now I kind of stand by that.
I think you should. And I think the very fact that if you're listening, you're like, man, that's pretty astute what she's saying. I hope you do think that, because I think that. I mean, you can see the combination of that sort of astute stuff plus my personality.
Right.
Being, creating an oddly galvanizing, fruitful friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it's different. And I completely agree with everything she said. And so, like, I don't tell women things about my wife that I'm like, if my wife heard it, she'd be hurt. I don't.
Yeah.
Hurt, like, wow, you really confided, but you wouldn't confide in me. I would never, ever, ever, ever would I want to do that.
That's right. And I don't want to receive it.
No, she doesn't want to hear it.
Right.
It'd be great. Like, yeah. It'd be, like, that's just an ideal situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what makes it hard. For,
yeah, I don't want my wife ever interfacing with someone in my life where I'm like, ooh, I hope they don't tell her X.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to deal with that. Again, this is not making me a superior moral person. What it does is it makes me a pragmatist. Like, I don't want to deal with that lack of peace.
And we both.
I'm lazy that way. Like, so maybe it's not. I'm just being very loyal.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I don't want to have to deal with that in my life.
Right.
Like, I want my marriage to be awesome.
We both grew up in a way that has made us vigilant.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
So, you know what
totally.
I mean? You've seen things.
I don't want to be like X.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. You've watched people get hurt and you thought, I don't know what I am in life, but I'm not that. And so I think that, and I've said this before too, is that I've had friends, guy friends, who I've had since we were young adults, teenagers. When they get married, that relationship changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that before. You don't call me at 11 o'clock at night. I have friends who I adore. 11 o'clock, no. Where is your wife?
Yeah, where's your wife?
That I, if married, would not want my husband on the phone with a woman. I don't care if he grew up with her or whatever. At 11 o'clock at night, that would make me uncomfortable as the wife. Therefore, as the friend, I respect her territory. 11 o'clock at night is her territory, not mine.
Well, the critique now of that would be, well, you're discounting yourself as a woman. You know, if you were a man, you could still talk to him and you would allow that friendship to happen. So you shouldn't be right. No. It's very pro-woman. You're protecting a woman.
Yes, I am. Yep.
You're protecting a marriage, which is a beautiful thing. You're protecting future women.
That is correct.
Who come from that marriage, who are born into that marriage. You're
should I ever get married? I'm protecting my
protecting
marriage.
You.
I'm not putting those seeds in the ground.
Precisely.
To come back up. No, I don't accept... I don't accept that. Well, a guy could. Yeah, maybe he could. Doesn't matter. I'm not. So you can have that discussion somewhere else. I don't care about that. This is actually, if you really want to have great friendships, and I think it's important for single people to have friendships with married people. I really do. I think the married couple needs it, and I think the single person needs it. But we have to be very understanding and understanding that there is an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who hates this institution?
Who wants to destroy things?
Yeah,
diabolically
tear it apart. And I don't want to be a part of that. I've seen that happen.
Oh,
I've watched
yeah.
the pain of that. I've been a part of the pain of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never want to even give like you said, just an inkling, a small glimpse of. And I never, ever, ever want to do it.
Yeah, so there you go.
I don't know. Does that help?
I think it does. I think you did.
Well,
I think I'm just basically trumpeting my own uniqueness.
You are, though.
I think I am.
Well,
I'm aware of that. I think I am.
Yes.
Like so.
If you weren't, I'd say, no, you're pretty much like all...
And my wife is very happy.
Yes.
About that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell young women, like, man, if you find somebody who's on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
you kind of like... And obviously, I wouldn't, if I'm talking, I think I pray every day for my son and my daughter to find spouses who love God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's a bonus because there's a loyalty factor that comes along with that. And I've talked with spouses of people on the spectrum too. Like, he's loyal. And I never have to doubt that stuff. And my wife never has to worry about that kind of stuff.
Right. And you are that. And that helps our... that helps our work relationship.
Totally. It creates freedom in all these other areas.
It does. Can I tell a story? This has nothing to do with anything, but I thought
sure.
about this the other day. We were doing a fundraiser for a place, and it was one of my first or second times doing a fundraiser in that kind of capacity, and it was overwhelming, and it was a lot of pressure, and I wasn't doing that well, and I knew I wasn't doing that well. And so after we were done, I was outside, I'm sitting on the curb, and I'm like, man, I stink and all of that stuff. And one of the people in charge came out and was quote unquote talking to me, and well, maybe it's just not your thing. Maybe you shouldn't be on the air. Maybe we can do something else with you or whatever. And was really kind of passive aggressive trying to take me off the air, right? And I remember having this conversation, and I said, that's fine. You can take me off the air. I said, but the only caveat to that is you have to tell Brant. I'm not going to tell him. And the person's like, yeah, we'll tell him because, you know, it's the best thing. And I thought, I know he will stand up for me. I knew it. It's that kind of loyalty. And we got into the meeting the next day. I don't even know if you remember this. We got into the meeting the next day. And again, in true passive aggressive fashion, they talked about everything but that. And it was right before we were supposed to get on the air. And I said, are you all going to tell him what we talked about? And they're like, oh, yeah, like it's a side thing. Oh, yeah, well, we thought, you know, Sherry could do some other things. And you let them say their whole spiel. And when they got done, you said, no.
I don't even remember that.
You don't? I remember it. And you said, we're good enough. We'll find it. We will find our way through this. And it's that kind of loyalty.
Good. Good for me.
See, guys?
Yeah.
See how awesome I am? No, it's that kind of loyalty.
That's good.
That, yes, that I'm sure that your wife is like, you just know this person, when the chips are down, will still be standing there.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's true. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not hocus pocus, so I don't believe I'm inviting destruction by talking about this. But it's lasted for 28 years this way.
Yeah.
So that's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, again, what we're saying, Sarah, is not a moral superiority. It's just, it's the happenstance of the Asperger's.
Yeah.
And I didn't invite that in. It's just, it's the way I am. All this said, thank you for the question.
Yeah, and I hope we helped a little bit. And I will say this also, unknown blathering on, last thing is, if you feel inside the thing that says, listen to that thing and go with it. Uh-huh. Don't question it. Don't, well, not really. Well, maybe. Why would I? The God has given you a thing as a woman inside that tells you wrong road.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's for a flash of a second,
uh-huh,
wrong road.
Uh-huh.
Stop. Have some humility.
Yeah.
Take the other road.
Yeah. Smart. Somebody should take this recording.
And do what?
Edit me out of it. Because what you're saying for women is so brilliant.
Thank you. I hope so.
Thanks for listening to this.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blast Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.